Hello and welcome to this edition of DEcast. My name is Rob Bagby. I'm a developer evangelist for Microsoft Corporation. And in this edition, I'm going to illustrate how you can expose an Atom feed from your services, or more specifically from your RESTful services. We're going to be taking advantage of an item template that's available to you from the WCF REST Starter Kit. If you're not familiar with the WCF REST Starter Kit, I would encourage you to go out and download the Starter Kit and play with it. It provides you with a bunch of assets that you'll want to take advantage of from your RESTful services, including a new assembly that provides a bunch of functionality, including a new service host factory and a new service host. Service host contains request interceptors or request interceptors collection that allows you to really easily kind of participate in the request pipeline. It also provides you some metadata support for your services, as well as some help functionality and some error handling, exception handling capabilities, some really great functionality. We also have a bunch of samples that illustrate how to do it, a bunch of common tasks if you're building RESTful services, as well as some item templates and some project templates. I'm going to be illustrating mainly the item template, one item template today, but keep in mind that the starter kit goes well beyond what you're seeing. So with that, I'm going to start by just creating a new service by right-clicking and choosing Add New Item. And we're going to just go all the way down to my templates. And this is where the starter kit templates install. And I'm going to choose the WCF Atom Feed Service template. I'm just going to call this Wine Service. And I'm going to click Add. Now, the template's going to create two files for me. It's going to create an SVC file and my CS file that contains my logic. So the SVC file contains a couple things that are important here. One contains really a pointer back to where my implementation is. So this is the type that does the work, if you will, and this is where it exists. This is the code behind. But you'll see it news up a factory, wineservice.appServiceHostFactory. And that appServiceHostFactory is defined down here. And it just implements ServiceHostFactory, and all it does is return one of those new types, the WebServiceHost2Factory. Now, all of this you might think is necessary for the Atom functionality, but it's not. We can get full Atom functionality without taking advantage of this factory. I'll show you one line of code in the templated code that does require this web service host too, but we could just as soon replace this factory with the WCF 3.5 factory of system.serviceModel.activation.webServiceHostFactory. Just falls right off the tongue, doesn't it? Okay. So we can do that, and we could actually get rid of all this, and everything will work. Although you do get some benefits from leaving it the old way. I'll just do this just for illustrative purposes. Now, the rest of the functionality here we're going to see is in this CS class. And so this is our service. Now, we're not going to walk through every line of code here, but I will point out the Atom specific details in here. So what you'll see is we created one class called Feed Service. It's decorated with the WCF Service Contract attribute, essentially telling us or telling the WCF infrastructure, look inside of this class and anything decorated with an Operation Contract attribute, expose that as a service operation. Okay? So we'll see that we actually have just one operation inside of our class, and so this operation is called Get Feed. That returns an Atom 10 feed formatter. So this is going to return, Atom 10 feed formatter. And so this is going to return an Atom feed. Now you'll see that we're taking in an argument of I, and I've decorated this operation with the WebGet attribute, essentially saying that this service is going to be exposed via an HTTP GET. We've also set a URI template, and this URI template says, well, you can actually append this question mark num items equals and then a parameter to the end of my URI, or really in this case after the path to the SVC file, and this parameter will get mapped down to this argument in this method. So it gives me the ability to pass this argument in the URL, which is kind of cool. And we'll see how we do that. So what this little sample does is it essentially iterates I number of times, and it creates a sample syndication item for each of those iterations. So what we do here, we start off by declaring a syndication feed variable, and then we just make sure that you didn't pass me a negative number to iterate. And if you pass me zero, you didn't pass me anything, we'll default I to one, and then we just loop I number of times. For each one of those times, we're going to go ahead and create a new syndication item. And notice we're using the object initializer syntax to essentially new up an object and set a bunch of properties. And these are the properties that we're setting of our new syndication object. Once we've newed that up and set those properties, we're adding it into our syndication items collection. Maybe I didn't show you that. We created a collection of syndication items right up here. So what you'll see is in this template, we've gone ahead and given you some nice prescriptive guidance. We've said things like every entry must have a stable and unique URI. You should include the last time it was updated. The Atom Spec requires an author for every entry. We're giving you some good guidance on essentially what you should do when building out an Atom feed. And for each item, you want to follow these guidelines. Now, obviously, all of this test data is bogus. We're just kind of creating a bogus ID and title and last updated time, etc. And at the very bottom, you'll see that we're setting the content to be a text syndication content. We're just throwing in sample content. I'll show you when we customize this thing for a more realistic feed how we can change this from maybe a text syndication content to using XML syndication content. And that'll allow us to really extend the Atom specification. Now down here, once we've created our entire collection of syndication items, we're going to go ahead and create an instance of our syndication feed, and we're going to set, again, with an object initializer, set a couple properties, the ID, the title, and then we're going to set that collection to my items property. Then we're going to, down here, set the content type for my outgoing response, or the web operation context object helper objects gets us a reference to the context, and we can go ahead and get a reference to the outgoing response from that helper object. We're going to set its content type to application atom plus XML, which is content types.atom here. And then we're just going to return our feed.atom 10 feed formatter. And this is kind of interesting because this feed, or this syndication feed, can be used for both Atom feeds as well as RSS feeds. So with that, we can run this thing up. Let's go ahead and do that and take a look at the result. So you can see we just opened up Internet Explorer. And if we go ahead and taking advantage of our URI template, we can pass in the number of items to be four, and you can see we got four entries here. Now, right now I have the feed reading view in IE turned off, but if I turn this on, click that, you can see that IE knows how to read Atom feeds, and in fact that's one of the benefits of using Atom. It's a known representation format, so that there are a ton of clients that are already able to read this format. So if you really want to gain reach with your services, a real good idea is to choose a representation format for your data that people already understand. And Atom is one such format. Other options are XHTML or some micro formats which are based on XHTML. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this back off so that we can see the actual XML, because what we want to do next, obviously it's nice to be able to kind of create this little simple example and see what that Atom XML looks like, but we want to get a little more real world-ish. So I want to expose some data that's more real worldy. So let me go back here. Now because accessing data is really not in the scope of this screencast. I'm not going to go into how we're actually accessing the data. We're using Link to SQL to fetch some data from our database. But we've got a nice little wines catalog in our database. And you can see here I've got this class, CohoDB, that's got some static methods. And CohoDB just kind of encapsulates my database logic. And we've got a couple methods here, getWine, getWines. GetWines takes in a start index and a page size and returns this wine grouping data type. Well, this is the method that we're going to use to fetch back a page of wines, and we're going to expose that page as an atom feed. So what's a page of wines? Well, most of you who've written solutions, you'll know that you don't return everything in the database. You return just a small subset of those in groupings called pages. So you might return records 1 through 10 out of 1,000, and then 11 through 20 out of 1,000, etc. So this getWines allows me to pull back just a page of wines, and it returns this type called wine grouping data. Let's go take a look at that wine grouping data type. Wine grouping data has a collection of wines, generic collection of wine data types, and then some other data that is about the page. So it allows you to do things like returning wines 1 through 10 out of 50, etc. So this is just kind of some metadata about the page. We can take a look at our wine data type, and it just stores some primitives about a wine, like the wine name and the wine type and the description, vintage and bottle price, etc. So pretty simple data types. So what we're going to do is just call getWines, and we're going to expose that in our feed. So let's update this service to do just that. So let's go back in here, and the first thing I want to do is I want to change the signature of my operation. So I'm going to just change this to maybe get wine feed, and we'll just change the signature to take in a start index and a page size, and let's change our URI template to be wines question mark index equals, and then let's map that start index parameter and page size equals, and let's map this argument, and we're set to go. Next thing I want to do is make some changes here. I don't want no longer just kind of newing up I number of items, so I can get rid of that. The next thing I want to do here is actually go fetch my data. So let's do wine grouping data group equals, and CohoDB will call into my little database abstraction layer dot getWines, and we'll just pass that start index and the page size into that method. So now we've got my data. I still want to go ahead and create this collection of my syndication items. But one other thing I want to do is I want to create a variable for my XML content type. So I'm not going to use this text syndication content. I want an XML syndication content variable. So let's do that. Call it XML content. And we're good to go. Now I can get rid of this kind of fake for loop that we used before. And we'll just create our own loop. So I'll just say for each wine data, wine in group dot wines. So we'll iterate over every group in the wines. Next thing I want to do, or the first thing I want to do, is I want to create an instance of that XML content. And so we can do this new XML syndication content. And this has a couple overloads, including one where I pass in the MIME type, or the MIME content type. And so here that's going to be application XML. And then I need to pass in a syndication element extension. And that's a nice little helper object. So let me just new one up. And here we just pass in the data contract type that I want to essentially serialize to XML. And that's just going to be my wine. And we're good to go. Now I've got a little got a little code snippet for the rest of this because it's just kind of a little bit lengthy to type out. The next step, or the next bit of code that that I just added, is essentially just using a URI template to get a URI to each specific wine. And we're using a template of wine slash wine ID, or wine slash and then whatever that wine ID is. And the reason why I'm doing this is you can envision having another service out there with a URI template of wine slash and then passing in the wine ID. Well, we're going to use that as the template so I can create a URI, and I'm going to use that unique URI for each wine as the ID inside of my syndication item. So we're just doing that. We're just newing up a URI template, and then I'm getting a reference to the incoming request, and then I'm getting the base URI from the incoming request, and then I'm just calling bind by position, passing the base URI, and then the wine ID, essentially pushing this wine ID into this location, and then marrying this with the base URI. That's going to give me this URI for the item. Next, we're going to go through, and we're going to again add a syndication item to our syndication items collection by newing up a syndication item using the object initializer to set a couple properties. This time, we're setting the content to the XML content you saw me just create. This ID is getting set to this new item URI, or the URI to my specific item, to string. I'm setting the title to the short wine name of my wine, and then I'm just kind of setting the authors to just kind of a default name that I just kind of made up. Now down here, I'm going to go through and make some changes to the actual properties of my syndication feed. The template defaulted the ID to be just kind of a bogus URI, http equals tempuri.org feed ID. What I really want this to be is the URI to this service. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to copy this code right in here, which will return the request URI to this service call. And so I'm just going to go ahead and do that right there, and then we'll just put it to string on it, and we'll see what that results in a second. But essentially, it's going to be the full URI to this page of wines. Next one is the title. I'm going to just set this to be my wine catalog. And the items is going to be set to that syndication item collection that you saw me just create. And everything else remains just the same. So now if I go ahead and run this up, we should be able to do slash wines. And question mark index equals 0 and page size equals 3. If I run that up, we can see that we actually, in fact, did get our data, and that we've got all of the base atom information there, title, ID, updated, link, etc. And for each entry, we've got the base atom information, ID, title, updated, author. But we've also got this extension, or the extended XML that we added in, including things like the bottle price for each wine, the description, the short wine name, the vintage, etc. Well, I hope this illustrated just how easy it is for you to take advantage of the WCF Rust Starter Kit to expose Atom feeds from your RESTful services. Thank you very much.